Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Brad Culp. I have Sam Grass and Trevor Walford in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. I'm going to jump the gun first. Good morning.
I was waiting. I wanted to see you. I wanted to see you before the mic. Good morning. This is Sam. How are you doing, Trevor?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. It's leap day once every 4 years, February 29th. So
we all, you know, you should give everyone today off.
You know, you may not know this about Leap Day, but Leap Day is a day when women get to make requests to men. So was that your request?
Ouch. Oh, pardon me, Kevin. You thought that was funny?
I did. Well, I figured Brad was going one of two ways with that. One being that if you're a salaried employee, you're working for free today.
That's right. That's right.
And then the other was obviously where he went. Another thing to add about Leap Day is we have actually I just saw this in the paper up in Boise today online, but some family friends of ours have twins, and one of the twins was born at 11:49 p.m. on February 28th. The other twin was born at 12:15 a.m. March 1st. So today, one of them is 21 years old. The other is only 20 until tomorrow morning. So it's kind of an interesting fact about what happens when you have twins born
Bad timing for the second one. So going to have to hold off on the celebration.
For a day.
Anyway, enough of the leap year nonsense. And that was Kevin Ritz in the studio in Dallas, by the way. And Kevin, we're glad that you've got your guest with us today, Scott Farber, and we're going to let you introduce him and take over.
All right. Thanks, Brad. As you mentioned, I have Scott Farber. He is the founder and CEO of SF Media Consultants. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin. Fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Let's start off by having you tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from, and then how you got to where you are now, and then we'll talk a little bit about one of the things, projects you have going on there.
Okay, great. Well, I'm originally from Chicago. I've been in the Dallas area now a little bit over 30 years. Time goes by very quickly, as you know. Going back to talk about my background, like every young man, I wanted to play baseball. You know, be a Major League Baseball player. I hurt my knees in college, and that career ended. And that's kind of how I got to, you know, my career that I'm doing now. I started broadcasting the games in college many years ago, and I went into broadcasting. And I did that all through my 20s, radio and television. And I came down to Dallas. It was like in 1980 or 79 in that area. And I came and worked at one of the stations down here in management. And then I decided that I wanted to start my own business, which the natural transgression progression would be advertising for what I was doing. So I went into started the advertising agency business, and we have been working last 20 years with all the major record labels doing the advertising. When Garth Brooks would have a new release, we would do the advertising for that, and now Taylor Swift is our big client, you know, the darling of the country right now. When she has a release, we do the advertising for that. And, you know, and we did a lot of health care. We helped start a lot of doctor practices and all the new cutting-edge things like the bariatrics. You know, we were among the first to get doctors around the country promoting themselves and helped make some of these practices very wealthy. So health care and the record label industry has always been what we've been working on. But I always had a fascination with people and their stories. And, you know, the day-to-day business is always about getting the next billing. You know, we're all trying to make a living, and it's still the case today, of course. But as I'm starting to get older here, I start thinking different thoughts, different things, you know, that become more important to you. And I remember my wife and I did a documentary together for my company, and it was on Holocaust survivors. And without going into the story, it was just fascinating stories of a reunion. People literally walked into the streets of Denver, Colorado, 20 years after World War II. They both had escaped from the camps or survived the camps, and they both thought they each other had perished. So their story was very unique. It was heartwarming. But I realized we taped one of them because the other one, the person that we knew, came down with Alzheimer's and couldn't do the documentary with us. So we taped the lady in Denver. And I realized how important it was to get these stories on tape. And because of that documentary, I started thinking of my own family. And I thought about how my grandparents came to this country. And my grandmother was literally dropped off to America at age 13 by her dad. And he went back to Europe to be with the rest of the family. America wasn't kosher enough for my great-grandparents, but they wanted my grandmother to have a chance at a better life here. She was 13 years old. You know, I would panic when my kids go to, you know, summer camp. And to me, she was just Grandma Mary. I never knew this or about her trials and tribulations till I was an adult. She was already gone. So these stories of our family stories become more important. My wife's grandmother used to dance on Broadway. And her grandmother's been gone so many years now, I never got to meet her. And these are just neat little stories to hear what it would have been like to hear her telling us what it was like to dance on Broadway during, you know, plays and whatnot. So about 12 years ago now, I tape my dad like all of us do. We all tape our parents and grandparents, and it sits in a, you know, now a DVD. It used to sit on a VHS on a shelf in your house, never to be used, never to be seen by anybody, including my tape, you know, and I had mine professionally done because of my business. I take my dad with a crew, but it sat in the closet in my house forever. Well, a couple of years ago, we were showing a documentary on World War II that the company had produced with a bunch of guys, and I was showing it to a senior home here in Dallas. They had asked me to come and speak to their World War II veterans. They knew we had this documentary that we had produced, and it had won some awards, so we were proud of that. And while we were showing the broadcast, I said, and this is, you know, last summer, I said, you know, I've been talking about this for years, how we've got to get the stories on tape. It was right there and then that I decided we are going to start doing this. So hence, we created this website. There's several ways to get to it, but it's www.generationslestweforget. What we're doing is we are going around, we're starting in Dallas, we're going to try to take this around the world, and we are taping everybody. We're doing little mini documentaries. They're about 15 to 20 minutes long. People are telling their family stories. You don't have to be rich or famous. Everybody has a unique story, and it just has to be told by you. I'd give anything to hear my great-grandparents talking to me, telling me something about their life, their generation, compared to now. They weren't able to do it, but we can all do it now because of all the digital, you know, technology we have. So we started going around, and we have close to 100 people on that website now. Another way to get there, same site, but another way to get there is www.veteranslestweforget. We're doing it by category, by decades, the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, through the 70s, and then all the veterans of foreign war. And the stories are just remarkable. And people, you know, tell me all the time, oh, I don't have anything to say, nobody's going to want to hear anything. Just the other morning, though, a lady was telling me about her husband worked for General Dynamics, and he was part of the group from General Dynamics that was invited to have breakfast with John Kennedy and Jackie Kennedy when they came in Dallas the day he was assassinated here. And she was telling that story, and her husband was just so elated and so excited. He just met the President of the United States. And an hour later, he was gone. You know, the President was assassinated. These are just little stories. One lady told us about dancing at the Chicago World's Fair in 1933 in her first grade class. The World War II veteran stories are just mind-boggling. One gentleman, his entire job was to fly General MacArthur around, plotting strategy all during the war, taking him around the different islands. One gentleman told me that he was on an airplane and he was taking pictures. They were in formation, and flak was coming up to the planes. And he was taking pictures out the window, and the plane next to him blew up. he's got that picture on tape. To make that story even further, he was telling that after the war ended, he got a letter from a lady, and she said, I knew somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody that said, you can tell me what happened to my son. He was on that plane that was reported missing. And he goes, I got a letter from her every day for 18 years, or every year for 18 years. He said, I didn't have the heart to say that your son blew up in the sky. So the stories that people have are just fascinating. And so this is what we're trying to do. We're doing a lot in the senior homes here in Dallas now, and the people are loving the experience. You know, and it's very heartwarming for me, you know, to be getting letters and emails from their family, you know. They're going, I live in L.A. and I saw Grandpa on the website. This is, and he talked about me. I'm loving it, you know. So it's neat. And because when they're gone and when we're all gone, the future generations will still be able to see this. So no longer is the obsolete VHS in the closet, you know, a problem. My dad's tape that I was telling you about sat in my closet, never viewed by anybody, including me, after we did it. But he's been, you know, I put that on the website, and he's been viewed now 1,500 times. So it's kind of a neat little thing that we're doing, and eventually we're looking to get sponsors to sponsor these people that we're putting on, because we're not charging the people to take them. Eventually we need to get the sponsors, but we want to preserve the stories.
It sounds like a great service. So right now are you doing it by appointment, or are you putting together a schedule where you're at different places and then people can come and have their story taped?
We're going, you know, pretty much to get people that want to be on here. What we like doing and what we have been doing is that we've been going around to, like I said, some of the senior homes, and we put on a presentation for them. And then we come back and we do a sign-up sheet, and we try to do 5 to 10 people at a time, you know, during the day. But if people are interested, you know, all they have to do is contact us. We will get back to them and set up a time and, you know, in a place where they can meet us. And, you know, we just want to get them on there. And, you know, we've been all over Dallas, and, you know, it's going well. You know, I'm becoming a rock star at the senior homes. You know, I walk in there and they go, there he is. He's the one who did the interview. You have to do this now. You know, and they look at me and they think I'm the kid. You know, they don't know that I'm right behind them. But,
right.
You know,
now, are you finding that after you tape some of these people, they call you later and say, hey, I need you to come back, because I thought of something else that I...
Absolutely. You know, we have done that several times where people said, I have more to say. I had one cute little couple. They live at Parkview and Allen, Texas, to our folks in Atlanta there. But they're in Parkview. Sweet little couple in their 90s, and they did it together. And she was telling the story on how they met, you know, 75 years ago. And she started to cry. And, you know, it was very touching. We're all, you know, oh, my gosh, what do we do now? I've got this 94-year-old lady who's, just weeping. And she lifted up her arm, and she cocked it, and she whacked her elbow into her husband's chest. He jumped, and she goes, you tell him how we met. Because she was just crying so hard. It was just so cute. But then they called. I had to go back, and they had to tell more. You know, we had one gentleman from World War II. He's 94 years old, and you would think he was 60. And he told his World War II story, and it was, you know, remarkable. But then he called me and said, Scott, you got to take me again. He goes, I just thought of the most important thing. And we went back and taped them again. He happened to be in Italy when the war was ending, and Mussolini was trying to escape, the dictator of Italy was trying to escape, and that the people of Italy, you know, captured him, killed him, and hung him upside down in the square for everybody to see. He was on patrol when that took place. He was there when it happened and got pictures.
Wow.
So now we have those pictures up on the website underneath his story, too.
That's amazing.
I think, you know, people would just be fascinated. If you want to know something about the 1920s, go there and see the people from the 20s. They tell their stories. One lady talking about they would have a barbecue every Sunday at their house, but the trash pickup was so limited, everybody had to take their trash home. I mean, you know, it's just those kind of stories.
Yeah, that is interesting. So from your travels throughout the Dallas area and doing these interviews, have you come up with anything that would work good as a piece of advice that you would pass along to seniors and their families?
Well, let me tell you something. You know, older people are just remarkable. I've heard more than one of them say to me, we are young people in old bodies. They're so sharp. They have their mind. And I think what they need from us is a kind word and a little patience. Because if you really sit down and talk to them, you really get an understanding that these people are sharp, they're bright, they know what's going on, they have opinions, they know times have changed. You know, I love asking them, what was it, compare your life to your grandkids' life, and they just start laughing. And, you know, I had a lady telling me about, look, I know how to tweet, I know how to text, so they're not, you know, above me. But older people just need us to understand that, you know, it's your body is deteriorating as you get older, you know, but their mind is still, most of them are still very sharp, and they're with it. So they just need, really, I think, a kind word and us to learn to be, you know, nice to them. And they appreciate that so much because they're just limited in their physical abilities.
Yeah. That's some good advice. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Now, if our listeners would like to get in touch with you about having their story taped and being a part of what you're working on there, how would they do that?
Well, let me tell you, there's a couple of ways. You can call our phone number, and I'm going to give you a phone number, and it's just dedicated to the website, so you will get a recording. If you just leave your information, somebody will call you back that day. It's 972-625-5419, extension 106. If you want to drop me an email, it's simply scott@sfmediainc.com. And, you know, we'll get to you, you know, and if, you know, if somebody has a business and you'd like to sponsor a veteran, our sponsorships are very inexpensive. What we do for our sponsorships is next to the video, we put up a sponsor's logo, and that logo links right to their website. It's just a way to help preserve these stories. It's only $500 for 2 years to have a sponsorship. The tape to be on the website is free. So, you know, whatever people would want to do, We want to get thousands of people on that site.
That's great. Scott, I appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Appreciate it.
All right, and we'll send it back to Brad and Sam in Atlanta.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you, Scott. Terrific stories, and what a great opportunity to preserve the legacy that some of these folks have left us. Here in Atlanta this morning, we have Jeff Smythe with us. He's the Executive Director of Senior Citizen Services. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Doing great. Thank you.
We appreciate you being here with us. Why don't we start the same way that we started with Jeff, which is if you could just give us a little bit of background on who you are, where you're from, where you went to school, how you got to be where you are today.
You bet. Grew up in the Denver area, and as you and I were talking about earlier, Denver is a beautiful place to be, but found myself, I had gone to Central America after college with a volunteer group called World Teach, and realized that I was wanting to try something different, a different city than Denver, and something that, you know, continued to push my comfort zone and a place where I could still be in human services doing work for others. And so moved to Atlanta, knew a couple people, waited some tables, and landed in doing Meals on Wheels work, and have been loving it ever since.
So so you came to Atlanta about just after the Olympics, I guess.
That's true, is what you're telling me.
You were recently out of college,
right?
I guess.
Right.
You started waiting tables. What did you when you started working with the Meals on Wheels program, was that with Senior Citizen Services?
No, it was a sister organization in town called Open Hand, and
okay.
Really got started on the volunteer services side of things, operations. Was really enjoying, you know, just knew that I was belonged in nonprofit community work, and pursued my master's at Georgia State in nonprofit management under the public administration umbrella, and really from there have continued to find different opportunities and ways to grow in this business and in this area, in this calling, I would say.
Okay. And how long have you been with Senior Citizens Services?
Going on 10 years, actually. Yeah, a little bit more than 10 years now. So it's been an exciting, a little bit of a roller coaster. We've had some real exciting success. Really, tripled the size of our organization. Are now helping about 2,200 seniors a year with various programs and services, and really, you know, but have stayed true to the mission that has been a part of the organization for almost 50 years, going on 50 years mm-hmm. in a few here. And that is supporting senior independence, meals, shelter, independence, education, and community. So lots of different ways to help seniors stay in their own homes, in their own communities. We like to say we're that safety net that helps seniors be able to do that, to stay in their home of choice and in their community of choice.
So let's take a step back and you know, I heard a little bit about Senior Citizen Services there, but you're located in Atlanta. Tell us a little bit more about the organization itself. You know, what are the roots of the organization? Where does it fit in the senior services spectrum here in Atlanta? You know, how do you interact with other organizations? And just give us a little bit more frame of reference.
You bet. Well, we're a nonprofit, a 501c3 nonprofit, and we were started actually with the Older Americans Act in 1965. There was no local entity that could help bring those Older Americans Act services to the seniors in need. And so the United Way helped to get us started. And really the initial focus was a little bit on housing, but very quickly moved to home and community-based services. Meals on Wheels Atlanta started in 1970, and that is how many people know us. Many people know us as Meals on Wheels Atlanta. It is what we do the most fundraising and community involvement, volunteer involvement for. But we do a lot of other things, home repairs, neighborhood senior centers, adult day health for Alzheimer's and dementia, and a program called Senior Companions. So a lot of different ways to help seniors stay in their homes and communities, but many know us as Meals on Wheels Atlanta, and really, you know, have stayed true to that mission the whole time. How we fit in is that many of the Older Americans Act services that are funded federally, dollars come to the state and then to the region and then to the county, and the county works with local nonprofits, at least Fulton County in our case, and we do a few other work with a few other counties as well, but for the most part, most of our work is with Fulton County, and so we are a part of a broader aging network, but certainly focus on, you know, those services that will directly impact seniors being able to stay in their homes and communities. Our average senior is living on roughly less than $13,000 a year. She is often widowed. She is often living by herself in a, you know, single family dwelling that she and her family had been in for 30, 40 plus years. And fiercely independent as she can be, but certainly could use a little support along the way, and sometimes not able to make it based on, you know, the job that she held or the family support that she has.
We are very familiar with the Meals on Wheels that you were speaking of, Jeff. Tell us a little of the other services that you offered. Kind of expand on that.
You bet. We offer an adult day health program, and inside the perimeter, we're actually aware of only a couple like ourselves that are a medical model, and it's really a place where seniors with mild to moderate Alzheimer's or dementia or other similar type of needs can be during the day. It is focused on keeping ourselves active, keeping a lot of stimulation. Very person-centered approach where there's a lot of different activities for each senior, lots of field trips, and, you know, our focus there, again, is to maybe we can't reverse the effects of Alzheimer's and dementia, but we can certainly try to slow those down and have some great, you know, case studies of doing so. We operate neighborhood senior centers. So these are like an adult day health, but more for active seniors. And there are seven of them that we operate throughout the metro area. And those are really focused on wellness. Our operations have changed from, hey, socialization is a good thing, to, hey, wellness is really where this is at. So dietitians come in and out. We've got health instructors. We've got walking clubs. We've got chronic disease management classes. Everything under the sun that you can imagine to help independent seniors stay independent. We have a home repair program that really started from our Meals on Wheels seniors saying, hey, thank you for the nutrition, but I can't stay in my house because my roof is leaking and my I can't even get in and out of my bathtub. So really, you know, like everything we've done, volunteers led the way, and volunteers continue to be vital to the program. We tackle everything from volunteer-driven a yard cleanup or painting to major systems replacements, roof replacements, ramp installations, et cetera. So it's a pretty broad spectrum that we can tackle with home repairs, but tackle about 200 to 700 homes a year for seniors in the metro area.
I was just going to say, that's a lot of homes.
It's a lot of homes, yeah.
And that's a lot of volunteers.
Huge need, yeah. We've really tried to model it somewhat after Habitat because they do such a great job of getting groups involved and churches and schools, et cetera. So we do the same. You know, volunteers can come in for a half day on a Saturday, make a big impact for a senior, and we'll have technicians that do some work ahead of time and follow up. Depending on resources, we're also able to do more major systems. We have a veterans program with Home Depot Foundation for roof replacements for veterans. So lots of different ways to tackle those repairs and maintenance items that are can, you know, if they grow and continue, could really keep the senior from staying in her own home.
Sure. So for our listeners, you know, we've had people from Senior Services North Fulton on here. We've had Friends of Gwinnett Senior Services and Gwinnett County Senior Services on. Is this a do you work kind of in conjunction with these people? Is it like a jigsaw puzzle of the city of Atlanta, or how does that, or is there overlap? Or
it is, you know, we all used to kind of say this is my turf and we'll do it well in this area. Now it's a little bit more open, but certainly our all of us, I think we do a pretty good job of collaborating together and saying, hey, you know, for instance, Senior Services North Fulton doesn't have a home repair program, but we don't necessarily have a lot of case managers on site. We work a little bit more closely with visiting nurse for that. So there's times where we're going to collaborate, where we can do something better, where they can do something better. But yeah, we fit into very much the same.
So is your core geography then kind of inside the perimeter?
Sure.
Or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You bet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's expand on this a little bit just to be clear. You mentioned that the funds typically begin at the federal level and through a multiple of transactions end up at the county level. So Fulton County has senior centers, and I'm assuming that these senior centers that are Fulton County senior centers, those are the centers that you basically man and operate. Is that correct?
You're right, yes. So they have unlike some counties, they've decided that, hey, we think nonprofits can do it and leverage community resources and volunteers better. So they work with us. There are three of our senior centers that aren't in county facilities that are in more kind of faith-based type of setups where a church started something or several congregations started something. So it's a little bit of a hodgepodge. But, yeah, these are all kind of smaller from average daily attendance of 15 to 60, even 70. You know, type of senior centers where seniors can come locally.
Right. Tell us, what does a day in the life of Jeff Smythe look like as the executive director for this organization?
Well, you know, we have an exciting strategic plan where we are really trying to keep up with this senior tsunami. So it is, it's ranging from, continual strategic planning, looking at our capital needs, to even some fundraising. So our organization, unlike many of our sister organizations across the country, we don't take all the federal funding. We don't apply for all of the federal funding. We felt like in the early 90s, it was better to really rely more on the community and get the community engaged. So roughly only 50% of our dollars come from any kind of government entities. The rest comes from the community. So that takes a lot of work to make sure that we're getting the community involved in events, in donations, in volunteering, in you name it, whatever, in advocacy, whatever we can do to engage the community. We have some wonderful special events throughout the year that really raise the lion's share of the Meals on Wheels dollars. Those are the where we have the least government funding is Meals on Wheels. Mm-hmm. And so
expand on that. Just tell us about those fundraising
opportunities. Yeah. We've got a few different things that we do. In the spring, we do a chef dinner party event called Sunday Suppers. And those are like I said, dinner parties on Sundays at different donors' homes where they get to spend time with a small group and a wonderful chef from in town. We also have an event in the fall called our golf tournament, Meals on Wheels Atlanta Golf Tournament, that raises good dollars and wonderful corporate support for that, always needing additional corporate sponsors. So certainly, if folks are interested, lots of opportunities there.
And then where is that held?
That's actually Capital City.
Okay.
So we've held that at Capital City Crab Apple, and then recently more of the Capital City Brookhaven. So lots of opportunities there. And then where most folks know us most is our Black Tie event called A Meal to Remember. And again, we're bringing in chefs, usually actually from different parts of the country or different parts of the world. They do a wonderful five-course dinner for roughly 300 to 400 guests at a great hotel in Buckhead. And all of those funds go toward Meals on Wheels Atlanta. So we're able to raise, last year, wonderful chairs raised more than $500,000 for Meals on Wheels Atlanta.
Wow.
Really phenomenal.
We always like to have a warm and fuzzy moment.
Sure.
Can you tell us an experience that you have with a senior that might be heartfelt?
Sure. A recent one that I'd love to say that the home repairs we did for her were just amazingly complex, but they weren't that complex. Her need was fairly basic. She had some safety issues. She needed grab bars. We replaced a toilet. So, volunteers had come and gone. One of the things that we do with every house is we just replace smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detector. Well, sure enough, 2 weeks after we were there, she was in another room from her kitchen and her smoke alarm goes off and her kitchen was on fire. And she just, came to us and said, I don't know what I would, I would not be in my house. Something would have happened to me had y'all not come in and did what you did. So kind of a simple story, but, she'd been in that house forever. And I actually asked if she would come and do a little advocacy with me because, those stories are good for elected officials to hear too, right?
Right. Well, I think that story is very pointed and just very simple things you can do to make the living environment better, more safe, and more conducive to what their limitations might
Absolutely.
Be.
Absolutely. You know it. And just those little things that we could do to help her, that volunteers could do very quickly for her, made such a huge difference for her. So, those kinds of stories. A Meals on Wheels Atlanta senior who, was sharing meals with, a pet in her house and, barely getting by. And we don't think in our country, in our world in our country that we have hungry seniors. But, one out of nine, now we think one out of eight Georgia seniors is food insecure. And just to see the look on their face when they're finally getting meals. We had a wonderful senior who was actually somewhat English speaking, but mostly Spanish speaking, who we has been in the country for dozens of years, and she found out about Meals on Wheels and we had a referral and she needed the meals and she just kept saying, well, how much do I have to pay? How much do I have to pay? And we kept saying, you're actually on the sliding scale. You're free. You don't have to pay. you know, generous people in the community help cover this. And she still makes donations every week. So
wow.
she wouldn't listen to us, but her income, you know, was zero contribution, and she still contributes.
While you're on that subject, why don't you tell our listening audience a little bit about the Meals on Wheels program, what the details are, how do they get involved? You mentioned a sliding scale just a moment ago. That
you bet.
Kind of pricked my interest. Tell us about those things.
You bet. For Meals on Wheels Atlanta, for our program, we really look at several indicators. We look at financial need, but we also look at what's called a nutrition score, and now there's a food insecurity index that helps us really look at the overall need for that senior in terms of, are you eating alone? Do you have sores in your mouth? Do you, you know, all kinds of questions that really help us assess the level of need. Because in some cases, we're able to refer to a senior center or say, hey, you know, we can bring you groceries once a week. You don't need the Meals on Wheels per se. But we look at those indicators, determine eligibility, also look at referral by a case manager, a physician, a nurse, et cetera. And then we also have a sliding scale. So those seniors that don't meet, meet the need for the free meals, they're able to have a very low cost meal or set of meals that are delivered for them, so that they can get back on their feet. What we're finding more and more is the value for our program is filling in those blanks where a lot of the county-based programs cannot. And so we are providing urgent meals in a lot of parts of the metro area where a senior really just needs short-term Meals on Wheels. They need them for a short amount of time. They're just out of the hospital. They've just fallen, you know, whatever the case may be. And we get them back on their feet. And then meals are provided for the urgent meals program up to 3 months. But then for those that are long-term, they're reassessed about every 6 months with a case manager.
And how many meals are you serving each year?
We're about 100,000 meals a year that we deliver, mostly inside the city, but also have some, you know, throughout the metro area.
Dissecting that down, how often would a senior or could a senior receive a meal? Is it three meals a day, or how does that work?
Vast majority of our seniors receive one meal a day for 7 days a week. We used to be majority 5 days a week, but we just found that the weekend family support really, especially since the economy has gone south, has really gone to more needing seven. We do have a number of seniors that qualify for our Kaiser Permanente Extra Helping Program, and so they will also get a can of Boost or a can of Ensure to help them. Frankly, there are seniors that really could use the three meals a day. There are seniors that could use a lot more nutrition than we are able to provide. We just are limited on resources, and we are maintaining right now about a 70-person waiting list, and it drives us crazy. Our job is not to have waiting lists. Our job is to help seniors in their time of need. So we're struggling with how do we meet those nutrition needs, and how do we make sure that seniors aren't sharing their food with their pets and with other children in their house.
How are the meals delivered?
Volunteers. So volunteers are vital for us. Anywhere from three to two dozen volunteers on any given day will come in and out. We do have some staff that we have to have kind of as backup drivers that tackle when there's gaps. But most Saturdays, we're 100% volunteer deliveries. And it really is the lifeblood of our organization. We benefit from anywhere from 40 to 70,000 hours of volunteer service in a year. So, hey, send more volunteers our way.
Well, we certainly appreciate that. We want to remind our listeners that, as you spoke, Jeff, sponsorships for your fundraising events are certainly in order. You're always looking for those. And we want to remind our listening audience of that. We want to give you the opportunity here in just a minute to tell the listening audience how to reach you in the event they'd like to volunteer or donate or whatever it may be. But before we go there, I'd like to ask you a question. If we have our listening audience or someone in the listening audience that has a loved one, and they don't know what to do, there are some needs. They don't know what services. What would you say to them? How would they begin this?
I think what we would say is, give home and community-based services a chance. I think often we, especially in our society, tend to think that we need to transplant our loved ones. There are some excellent facilities in town, but I mean, you know, no doubt about it. But survey after survey shows us that the majority of us want to stay in our own homes, in our own communities. And there is a lot of, there's just a wealth of support out there for seniors to be able to do that. You know a lot about that, but certainly from our perspective, in terms of trying to provide some of those basic needs, we do see that quality of life can be maintained and in some cases improved. We do see that seniors' level of satisfaction, their quality of life, their happiness staying in their own home can stay high with the home and community-based services. And there's so many great resources out there now. So I would say regardless of income, to really consider home and community-based services for our loved ones.
Good. And with that, tell these potential sponsors, these potential volunteers, how they can reach you.
You bet. probably the easiest way now, we're actually going through a name change. We're moving our name to Meals on Wheels Atlanta because most folks know us by that. So okay. It's probably easiest to go to mealsonwheelsatlanta.org. Certainly our main number is 404-351-3889. And that's for referrals, that's for volunteering, that's for donating, that's for advocacy, any level that folks are interested in. You know, $142 provides a month's worth of meals for a senior. So it's a little can go a long way.
Good. Jeff, we certainly appreciate you being on our show today. Great information. Would love to have you back. I will extend the invitation on the air with some of the special events and things that are going on. Would love to have you back and to develop that for our listening audience.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. That's it for today. We certainly thank Scott and Kevin in Dallas for being with us. We certainly thank Jeff here in Atlanta. And we want to remind our listening audience that if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do that at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, as we always do, if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.